All right, we're going to pick up on chapter 7 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Here we go. This is Paul writing. But for those who are married, I have a command that comes from not me, but from the Lord. So this is from God. A wife must not leave her husband, but if she does leave him, let her remain single or else be reconciled to him. And a husband must not leave his wife. Now verse 12. Now I will speak to the rest of you, though. I do not have a direct command from the Lord. If a Christian, okay, so this is what Paul's expounding on. He goes, first I have this command from the Lord. If you're married, stay married. He's talking to the people in the church. So if you're married, just stay married. Well, I don't like the guy. It doesn't matter if you like the guy or not. It says here, there's only, I believe, only a couple reasons that you should get divorced, and we'll talk about those here in a few moments. But if you're married, stay married. That's a command from the Lord. He actually hates divorce. He doesn't hate the people who got divorced. He hates the sin or the choice of divorce, if that makes sense. He doesn't hate you if you went through a divorce, okay? He hates the situation because it doesn't just hurt the husband and wife. It hurts the kids as well. It hurts the in-laws and the outlaws and all everybody who's social, even friendship groups, it hurts. So this is a command from Paul, from God. And remember, this is to the church, not to the world. The world doesn't have no concept of what true marriage is. And even in the church, we have a hard time with what true marriage is. And Paul talks about that, how a lady should serve her husband and her husband should be the head and all those things. And when we get to that verses, we will talk about that. And it's not a male chauvinist type of viewpoint. It's actually them serving, coming together to be one through this all. That's what marriage is. It's basically you coming to the altar. And the altar is about sacrifice. It's about killing self to become one. So when you become married, you become one. And you ever try to rip super glue away from your fingers? It hurts. I'm like this sometimes. Because I play with super glue. Not on purpose, but to fix things. Super glue, Gorilla Tape, amazing things. So then, verse 12. Now I will speak to the rest of you, though I do not have a direct command from the Lord. In other words, Paul's saying, this is my opinion. What should happen in situations? If a Christian man has a wife who is not a believer and she's willing to continue living with him, he must not leave her. And if a Christian woman has a husband who is not a believer, he is willing to continue living with her. She must not leave him. Verse 14. For the Christian wife brings holiness to her marriage, and a Christian husband brings holiness to his marriage. Otherwise, your children would not be holy, but now they are holy. Verse 15. But if a husband or a wife who isn't a believer insists on leaving, let them go. In such cases, a Christian husband or wife is no longer bound to the others, for God has called you to live in peace. Don't you wives realize that your husband might be saved because of you? And don't you husband realize that your wives might be saved because of you? All right, we'll stop there and then we'll continue. Here Paul's saying, all right, this is my suggestion. If you're a godly man, a godly lady, and you're married to an ungodly spouse, stick with them. Stick with them. That's what Paul's saying. He goes, and we'll talk about here why. But, and here's a little bit later, he goes, but if they leave, let them go. Because a lot of times when the ungodly spouse and the godly spouse get together, there's usually some conflict that takes place. And if the ungodly person doesn't want to deal with all the holiness and righteousness of this other person, they're going to leave. And God, and Paul said, you know, it's okay to let them go. And another reason why people will end up getting divorced, and I can justify this through the Bible, is one's abuse. Abuse is not accepted in any relationship. The person who's doing the abusing should get help.
An abuse could be physical, emotional, spiritual. It could be in all different ways. It could be verbal. It could be all these different ways of abuse. And sexual immorality falls under that. If the person happens, I don't think sexual morality is a happenstance. I think it's a choice. But it only happened once. They come back and they repent and they're really convicted by it and they really want to make things work. That's different. But it's an ongoing thing. The spouse has biblical authority to say, hey, I am done with this. And even other ways you can have abuse all throughout. But Paul here is saying, but if all possible, live at peace with one another as believers. Remember, a lot of these, the church is a young church, is a new church, new believers, so they don't, so they're not like, they haven't been raised up in the church, they haven't been raised up in God's word. So they're coming in off the street, they have no clue how to live for Jesus or his commands. And so Paul is saying, okay, this is what God's expecting. But let's hold it back a little bit and let's try to do this. And so as Paul's talking to them, writing to them, and he's saying, hey, okay guys, this is what we're going to do. Because he goes, don't you know, you living a godly lifestyle in front of your spouse can change them. Because you're holy and righteous. There's stories that come from the Mideast. If you listen to Voice of the Martyrs, they'll talk about how a lady gets saved. Their wives get saved and the guy is abusive and all that. And all of a sudden she starts treating him with honor and respect. All of a sudden he says, what's different with you? And she starts sharing Jesus with him. And he starts getting, one or two things happen. He gets more abusive, unfortunately, or his heart starts getting tender to the things of God. See, and I don't think this is just with a marriage relationship. I believe this is every relationship. That there's some people that you're close to, you're godly, or you get saved, and you start sharing Jesus with them. And some people will say, oh, tell me more. And other people say, forget you. Especially family. Because family, see, they remember how you used to be. Sometimes the reason why family rejects the message of God through you is because they can't forgive what took place in the past. Unforgiveness will rob people from receiving everything God has for them. And so until they're ready to release it to God's hands, our job is just to minister to people. Our job is not to save them. Our job is to disciple them after they come to know Christ. But in the meantime, our job is to serve God, first of all, and then take care of what God tells us to do. And sometimes being a slave of Christ or being a servant of Christ, we walk through things that we don't like and we don't understand. You ever, all of you have had kids or besides my kids, they don't have kids yet, but most of you know that you're older or you work with people and that you knew what's going on, but you couldn't tell other people and they didn't understand why you were making the choices you were making. See, sometimes you just have to follow God and allow Him guide you and direct you. As a servant of God, sometimes what He asks us to do doesn't make sense to us, but we just say, okay, Lord, here I am. And then he goes that you bring holiness or righteousness, godliness, otherwise your children would not be holy. And in other words, he's saying your children would have more opportunity to hear about Christ and his righteousness and his holiness if you stay together rather than departing each other. Because what I've seen in a lot of the divorce cases is where the husband or the wife will pin the kids against the other. It was all their fault. Or it's all their fault. And the kids will draw gravitate to the ones that, who are pushing it harder than the other. Out in California in about 1978, 79, there was a governor, Ronald Reagan. He passed a law. He signed a bill into law, said no divorce, fault. No fault divorce. No fault divorce. Which means you can get divorced for any reason. I'm not in love with them anymore. Okay, have a good life. There you go. And then all of a sudden, he became president, and he brought that legislation with him. Now it's across the land. That you don't need any reason to divorce. Just, I don't like this guy anymore. He's just a fuddy-duddy. He's not exciting as it was before we got married. No reason, no rhyme. Just for a reason. Okay, verse 17. This is where I really want to talk about, is that each of you should continue to live in whatever situation the Lord has placed you, and remain as you were when God first called you. This is my rule for all the churches. And so Paul is saying, hey, remember, he's a church planter. He planted these churches. He put leadership in. And he goes, this is one of the rules I have if you're going to be a part of what God's doing. He goes, for instance, if a man who was circumcised before he became a believer should not try to reverse it. That would be quite interesting. And if a man who was uncircumcised when he became a believer should not be circumcised now. For it makes no difference whether or not a man be circumcised. The important thing is to keep God's commandments. And God's commandments is, according to Jesus, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. And then it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And also, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Verse 20. Yes, each of you should remain as you were when God called you. Are you a slave? Don't let that worry you. But if you get a chance to be free, take it. And remember, if you were a slave when the Lord called you, you are now free in the Lord. And if you were free when the Lord called you, you are now slave in Christ. God paid a high price for you, so don't be enslaved by this world. Each of you, dear brothers and sisters, should remain as you were when God first called you. We'll stop there for today, but in other words, when you get saved, keep doing what you're doing. Not the sinful part, but if you're working, keep working. If you are a manager of a retail store, keep managing the retail store. If you're a snowplow, you cut grass all the time, keep doing that. In other words, he's saying just because you get saved doesn't mean you all of a sudden have to change jobs. That means you don't have to change locations. He might ask you in the future, but when you come to know Christ, he says, keep doing what you're doing. If you cut hair, keep cutting hair. If you're a doctor, keep being a doctor. But the thing about it, bring God along to start changing your everyday life. See, so many times we'll say, well, this is my business, and God's over here, and I'm not going to let him cross over. Or this is my job. You know, when I go to my job, I got to be like one of the guys. I got to yak it up. I got to be tell these jokes, you know, laugh at the jokes. But God goes, no, that's not what I'm talking about. You can see, keep going to the plant. You can keep working there. But let me walk into those situations. Let me be God of your life. Not just your Sunday mornings only, but let me be full custody of you so I can walk with you wherever you go, wherever you're walking through. God's saying, I want to be with you in the marriage, in your finances, in your job, however you make money, wherever you walk, wherever you drive, What grocery store you shop at, no matter where you go, he goes, you don't have to change those things. Let me come in and be a part of it. If you're not circumcised, don't get circumcised. Because this is a Gentile church. This is not a Jewish church. There might be some Jewish people in it, but this is from a very Gentile, secular church that he planted, and they're coming out of baggage and garbage of their life, and he's saying, God will deal with that, but keep showing up so God can deal with it. And if you're not, you don't have to be Jewish to be saved, is what he's saying. You don't have to be a Gentile to be saved. You can be either Gentile or Jew. It doesn't matter. Just come to know Jesus and walk with him and keep doing what God asks you to do. Keep doing what God asks you to do, and you'll see great and mighty things. You'll see things that you'll be amazed about. And God will show up because God paid a high price for you. He said, don't serve this world, serve me. And while you go out in the world, remember, you're not serving the world. You're serving God. As you serve God, the world sometimes will come against you. And sometimes the waters will part. Sometimes you got to walk in the storm and walk through the storm. You know what buffaloes do to a storm? They run into the storm. They run as close into the storm as they can because they want to get through the storm as fast as they can. You ever been driving and the storm's coming the same direction you are? And you're like, it's going to rain on us the whole time because the storm's going 45 miles per hour and you're driving into the storm and the storm's coming this way and you're catching up to it and you're driving into it. But buffaloes say, storm's coming this way. The buffalo will say, oh yeah, we're going to run right through it. Because then the storm is less. You ever try to avoid God growing you? It's going to take longer. It's going to take longer if you try to avoid what God wants to do in your life. If you want it done quicker, deal with it. Some of you might be dealing with some stuff today. And you're like, I don't want to deal with it. I've been on vacation and God goes, oh, I want to deal with this while you're on vacation. No, Lord, I'm on vacation. I don't want to deal with anything. But he goes, yeah, because I got you. Sometimes, and guess what? If I try to ignore it, vacation is no fun. But if I just dealt with it on the first day of vacation, and I've done that, the rest of vacation, it's like, oh, yay, it's free. Because sometimes he gets you alone. He goes, I want to deal with this issue. And sometimes once you deal with that issue, you're like, oh, that wasn't too bad. You ever had done that? It's like, this issue is only like this big. But to you, it's like, oh, Mount Everest, however we'll deal with you. But it's only an anthill. And you look at it, you can go, oh, I can deal with that because God is on my side. And a lot of times, if we just deal with it, it's done quickly. And you can keep moving on. But if we try to go around it, man, you've got other mountains you have to face as well. And you're like, oh, will this ever be done? Yeah. Once you back up and say, let me deal with it. Let me deal with it. And that's what Paul's saying here. He goes, this is what I want you guys to do. Stay, keep doing what you were doing when you first got saved. See, it's interesting. We'll go to camp. And the last night, they'll say, okay, we want to pray for those who believe they're called into the ministry. I'm thinking, aren't we all called into ministry? Aren't we all supposed to do the things of God? Aren't we all supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus? I'm like, well, but they're talking about full-time ministry. I'm like, what if someone's not called into full-time ministry? Last year, I talked to a couple people. One person was supposed to be a mechanic. He goes, oh, man. And then we had this little conversation. He goes, thank you, because I was kind of confused what I was supposed to do. If I was supposed to be in the ministry, like pastoring, he goes, but I really don't want to deal with people.
So why are you on the camp?
Well, to work on cars. But he goes, I love working on cars. I love doing those type of things. I'm like, well, maybe that's what God's calling you to do. Make as much money as you can and bless it into the kingdom of God and take care of your family. He was like, I can do that? I'm like, yeah. I go, you don't even have to go to school to be a mechanic. It might help a little bit. I mean, you could be like Mike was, Jerry, a backyard mechanic. And yeah. All he needed is a little super glue and rubber bands and duct tape. And he kept it.
Bailing wire.
Bailing wire, yeah. He kept it all running, didn't he?
Yep.
But he didn't need school because he knew what he was doing. But now, he would make a horrible preacher.
Yeah.
Up front.
Oh, dear.
Nothing against that. But yeah, you get in behind, underneath that shade tree with a car.
Yeah.
You can talk about Jesus all day long. He'd be happy as a clam. Mm-hmm. See, that's what Paul's saying here. Stay a mechanic if that's what God called you to do. But bring Jesus into those situations. If you're retired, stay retired. Some of you have less time now than when you were working. I know, I get that. But if you're retired, he doesn't say go back to work and start working again. Stay where you're at. If you're not married, don't look for a spouse. It's okay. God will bring one to you if he wants you to be married. And so, I think that's all we're going to say today. I think we're done. I could keep going on, but I think we're done. You heard me enough. We're going to pray. If you need prayer for anything,